Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you that you have paid the price on Calvary's cross for our sins. Father, we think of our country tonight and dire need it has of that cross. Father, we just pray that you would work in our land. We ask that you would be with these that have physical needs tonight, that you would lift them up and give them health and strength. And Father, as we look into your word, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Father, may we have hearts that are open and willing to listen to what you have for us. Just guide and direct throughout the evening. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Looking at peace tonight, there are many things in our lives that can rob us of peace. Number one, the Lord can give us peace when we are afraid of danger. The Lord can give us peace when we are afraid of danger. Thinking about here, danger in the night, specifically because it says here, I will both lay me down in peace and what? And sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Sometimes little children are afraid. I remember when I was a boy, our church had moved a building close to the church building. And they had jacked it up, and so they were putting cement blocks under it to put a basement under it. And my dad would go down there and work in the evenings, and it was dark, so it must have been like this time of the year, I guess. And I remember as a little boy thinking, boy, it seems like my dad would be scared going down there in the dark and working all alone. And so, you know, little children many times are afraid of the dark. But fear of the dark or fear of danger in the night is not the only thing that can rob a person of sleep. Sometimes people don't sleep because they're in pain. Sometimes people don't sleep because their thoughts are troubled about something. Sometimes people can't sleep at night because of some physical condition other than pain that's causing them to be sleepless at night. But what we're centering on here in verse 8 is sleeplessness because of fear. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And we could find peace even at night because the Lord promises to always be with us. Notice with me in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. You know, many times people are afraid at night simply because they're alone. If anyone was there, they wouldn't be afraid. So it's because they're alone. And Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am what? With you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So the Lord is always there. He's always there. Think of the motorcyclist out here that lost his life last week. And I believe it said he left behind a wife and I believe two daughters. You see, he was 53 years old. And so a wife and two daughters are going to be without husband and daddy now. So those things are hard. So the Lord promises to always be with us when we are saved. But for some, sometimes people or little children, if someone is in the same room, they have to be awake. Or it might be someone, you know, someone might not be afraid if someone else is in the house somewhere. But if they're sleeping, that's a different story because they're thinking, wait a minute, you know, the little child might be looking at brother, you know, next to him, and thinking, but he's asleep. if somebody breaks in, he'll probably just sleep through it. And the robber will probably get me and kill me, you know. So it's like, wake up, wake up. You got to stay awake. And you know, that's the thing about the Lord. He is always awake. Amen. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. He doesn't doze off like we do. Sometimes people say on Sunday night to me, well, did you get a nap this afternoon? And I'll say, well, it was one of those sitting up in a chair. And it's one of those that kind of makes your neck sore, you know, your head jerks, one of those things. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will what?
Not slumber.
Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor what? Sleep. So God doesn't doze off. He doesn't go into a light sleep or a slumber situation. He's always awake there to help us. So we need not fear. Notice in Psalm 139. So we do not have to fear. God is always with us when we are saved, and he's always awake. He's always alert. In Psalm 139, verse 12, the Bible says of God, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are what?
Both alike
to thee. So I hear that the Taliban there now has a lot of our military's equipment. Not only helicopters, I don't know if any of them can fly them, but night vision goggles, guns, tanks, and that's really sad that all that equipment got into their hands. But God has always been able to see in the dark without night vision goggles, without any help at all. So number one, peace. The Lord can give us peace when we are afraid of danger, danger in the night, or many other fears. Number two, the Lord can give us peace when we are afraid of the threat of war, the threat of war. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs 3. You know, China is flexing its muscle, trying to do what it did to Hong Kong, try to intimidate them over a period of time and then actually take them over. And so they're trying to do that right now with Taiwan. I don't know exactly how that's going to go. But the people in Taiwan, you can understand why they're fearful. But in Proverbs 3:24, the Bible says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of what?
Sudden fear.
Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So God is our confidence. God can give us peace, even when there's the threat of war. And you know, as time goes on, there's going to be more and more of that. The Bible prophesies. Notice in Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. It's going to be part of the thing. You know, pestilence, we're seeing the COVID situation continue on. And just think, in the tribulation period, what we're seeing right now is just a tiny little thing compared to what they are going to face. Just one blow after another. In Matthew 24, verse 3, I don't know if I was kind of joking with my wife or not, but I said, you know, this, you know, the car lots are looking empty. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, the Bible talks about an army on what comes against Israel? Horses, okay? So, you know, you might want to be looking in the paper for a horse or online for a horse. I don't know. Matthew 24, things are moving fast, it sure seems like. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of what? Thy coming, and of the end of the world. Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed, that no man deceive you. You know, the Bible talks about a famine of the words of the Lord coming. And can't you see that? I mean, they're trying to censor and shut down everything conservative. And so, you know, we just need to pass out the word of God as much as we can and speak it out. So he said, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall what? Deceive many. Can't you see how people are so easily deceived right now? They are so easily deceived. This whole thing, which you probably read too, with this whole critical race theory things. And so the National Association of School Board complains to the government, and now they sick the FBI on parents who are trying to voice their opposition to critical race theory and any number of things. I've seen, I don't know if you kept up on the news at all, but finally, parents that have their children in the public school system, they're actually finally checking out some of the books, and it's horrible, the books. And so they're coming before the school boards around the country. Parents are reading these books. Do you know what's in our school library? It's child pornography in pictures and words. And so this mother just starts reading it before the school board and those assembled there. And it's like one school board member indignantly says, Ma'am, there's children in the audience. Where are these books at? The school libraries? Yeah. So anyway, so they're getting, the school boards are getting kind of tired of that. So now the FBI wants to get involved. It's, can't you just see the censorship is coming big time? So people are going to be deceived. There's so many already deceived. It's pitiful, really. But so anyway, verse 6. And ye shall hear of what?
Wars
and what?
Rumors
of wars. This is big time. You know, this whole China thing, I don't know if any of you in this area remember, but once I wrote to one of our Michigan representatives. His name was Vern Ehlers. And he was supposed to be a conservative. And I don't even know, it's been a lot of years since he's been gone. But I wrote to him once and I said, sir, everything in the store, it seems like, is made in China now. And I said, don't we realize that when everything in the store is made in China, that they control us? Like, we're seeing right now with cars, when our computer chips are made overseas and something happens, we're paralyzed, we're crippled. And he said, no need to worry. This was back some time ago. This was when China was not fully even accepted into the world economy. And he says, you don't have to worry. He says, China realized that if they want to be accepted in the world economy, they got to straighten up. They have to do right. You know, the last time I read my Bible, it says the love of money is the root of what? All evil, not all good. When people get wealthy, they normally don't become better. Just ask the CEO of Facebook or Amazon or Google. Do these... With the more money these people amass, are they getting better or worse? It's worse, much worse. And so, well, he's gone now, but we're stuck here still with a China that could have been shut off many years ago. So we're hearing wars and rumors of wars from them. But see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be what?
Famines.
And what? Pestilences. We're seeing it right now. COVID is a pestilence. And earthquakes in diverse places. I'm on an automatic thing with my computer that when there's an earthquake of a certain magnitude anywhere in the world, that it sends me an email. There's earthquakes all the time in diverse places. That doesn't mean in the sea, although actually the vast majority of these earthquakes are in the sea. But the word divers there means diverse, various places. So, but verse 8 says all these are what?
The beginning
of sorrows. So whatever we're seeing now, it's just the beginning. Wouldn't you hate to be here when there's no Christians left? I can't imagine what it would be like to be on this earth when all Christians have been removed. It's got to be extremely horrible. So the Lord tells us not to be troubled. Not to be troubled, verse 6. For ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. But the only way we're not going to be troubled is if we know the Lord and are in His Word. That's what we need. Notice in Psalm 29. Psalm 29. And verse 10. Psalm 29 and verse 10. The Bible says, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with what?
Peace.
With peace. With peace. But it's kind of like that in the back of that closet in their motorhome, there was that paneling there. And it's like, I remember Brother Reese and I have talked about it. It's like, I wonder what kind of a job it's going to be in a motorhome to tap into plumbing, electrical. So you got to tap into the sewer. You've got to tap into the hot and cold water. And so, you know, I'm thinking of back when we were first, Sandy and I were first married, we owned a mobile home. And I'm just trying to think of plumbing and mobile homes is extremely cheap. I mean, in quality. And so I'm thinking, how are you going to get into that motor home and get to it? And so it's like, you know, talking about it, and a person could worry about it. But the Lord gives peace unto His people. What a blessing. Verse 11, the Lord will bless His people with peace. And take that piece of paneling away and wow, it's all prepared for me. I notice in Psalm 37. So you know what? As these problems and trials come on the horizon, we don't have to be troubled. We don't have to be. God gives us peace. Psalm 37:32. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is what?
Peace.
So that's what we need to do, is seek the Lord with all of our hearts and serve Him. Because the end then for us will be peace as we wait on the Lord. Notice in Isaiah 9, we're looking for a leader. And we know who he is. And we know he's a perfect leader. That's the one that we are looking for. Isaiah 9 and verse 5. Isaiah 9, 5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the what? Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and what? Peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we're looking for the Prince of Peace. That's who we're looking for. So when whether it's the fear of the night or the fear of war, Christ is our peace. Number three, the Lord gives us peace as we sow the seed and labor for Him. The Lord gives us peace as we sow the seed and labor for Him. Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. So what do we do in the meantime as the dark clouds, come upon this world? Isaiah 32, 17. And the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. So that's what we need to do, right? The work of righteousness shall be peace. So that's what we need to set our hearts to. Not sitting and worrying, but we just need to get involved in the work of righteousness, because that shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, what? Quietness and assurance forever. Isn't that what we need in troublesome times? Yes, we need quietness and assurance. Verse 18. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place, blessed are ye that what? Sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. So verse 20, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. I sent a picture of the float to our missionaries from Saturday, and Brother Needham wrote back, and he was excited about that, the float. And I told our missionaries, it's always kind of a sad time of the year for me when the parades are over. I love being out there in the open air. And as someone said, I don't know if it was Saturday, that I know it seems nice actually to be able to use the sound system and get out the gospel. And I just love being out there in the open air and not being ashamed of the Lord. So that's what we need to do. That brings peace as we sow the seed. Ecclesiastes 11. Let's turn there. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Sowing the seed. Ecclesiastes 11, 1. The Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Have you ever seen a bottle in the water? Years ago, I read about, I can't remember the man's name, and I don't know if it was a river. It seems like it was, but this man faithfully, year after year, would put gospel tracts in bottles and seal it, and then put it down in the creek. And of course, now, you'd be open for getting a ticket, for littering and so on. But so this was back in yesteryear. But it was just interesting how many people would get that bottle and how many people end up getting saved and writing back to this man. So cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Notice in Psalm 126, Psalm 126 and verse 5. Psalm 126, 5. The Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing what? Precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." When I was in Cedar Springs last week handing out tracts downtown there, one of the men said to me, he said, "What was your grandpa's name?" He said there was kind of a nickname that he had. And I thought he was talking about my other grandfather, until it was kind of hard to hear, but finally understood. I says, "Oh, well, that was my grandpa Rector, and they called him Cop." And I forget how he got that name, but anyway, that's what they called him, Cop. His old friends, the people at work, called him Cop. His real name is Carlton Rector. And the guy said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, and these guys, these were the two I shared with you Sunday, too. They were, the other one was asking me about how many tracts we've handed out. And I said, I don't know. But so I told this other man, I said, "Yes." And I said, "You know, you talk about sowing the seed," which that's what they were talking to me about. And I said, "You know, he witnessed to one of his co-workers time after time," and they rode together to Grand Rapids. And one of the times when they came back, it was the neighbor's turn to drive. And so he pulled into the yard. My grandma was there on the porch. And so he's yelled out to her, "Here, you have him. I'm tired of him preaching at me." And he wasn't mad. He was, well, he was probably annoyed, but they didn't get mad at each other. But you know what? That neighbor did not get saved while my grandfather was alive, but after my grandfather went to be with the Lord, that man did get saved. So we have no clue just how much seed we have sown. Only the Lord knows how many of those people have gotten saved and will yet get saved because of your labors, getting out the word of God. So it's an exciting work. It's a work that gives you peace in your heart. Like, you know, there's so many people in life that wonder, why am I alive? We hear this a lot from in the nursing home type ministries. Why am I still here? Why am I alive? I can't figure out why the Lord still has me here. Maybe it's to keep sowing the seed. Maybe it's to keep sowing the seed. And the exciting things that we can see one day from that. Isaiah 55. So in other words, you know what? If you ever get to the point where you say, "I just don't know why the Lord is leaving me here," think about that. If you still are alive, you still can sow the seed. If you're able to walk and move, you can sow the seed all kinds of places. If you're still able to talk on the phone, you're able to sow the seed. If you can still text or type, you can still sow the seed. If you still have a little money enough to buy a stamp and an envelope, you can sow the seed. And so let us never say, "I don't know why I'm still here." Let's use the time. Amen? Let's use the time we have to sow more seed. I was sharing with you Sunday about one of those dear ladies from one of the nursing home ministries passed away now about a little over a year ago now. And we are still getting checks from her trust fund. And I told one of her heirs, I said, "What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to be in heaven and still amassing fruit on earth." Amen? What a wonderful thing. Notice with me in, I don't know if we ever read this yet, but hold your place here. Let's turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. I told one of her heirs, I said, "You know," I says, I hope that's the same with me. I hope I can leave something behind," and I'm not saying just money. We can invest in a lot of different ways. I mean, one good way If you would like to jot down how you got saved, we'll do a life story track. I mean, think of all the different life story tracks. Brother Reese's dad has a life story track. Just think, he's been in heaven how many years, Brother Reese? 11 years. But his story is still leading people to Christ. I mean, doesn't that excite you? It excites me. I mean, just to be able to leave something behind that would point people to Christ. So listen, if you want to jot down how you got saved, we can do a gospel track, and you can leave something that it's like with Abel, he being dead yet speaketh. So praise the Lord. In the Philippians here, and Philippians 4:17. I was just thinking of this dear lady. It's just like, we had no idea she was going to do that. No idea in the world. 4:17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire what? Fruit that may abound to what? Your account. I don't know what my account number is in heaven. But it doesn't matter. God has all that figured out, doesn't he? He has yours too. Everything we do with the right heart motive, it goes on the account. Isn't that exciting? That should give us peace. Back in Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me, what? Void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall what? Prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So, that's exciting. So, you know, we don't know when the Lord is coming back. We don't know the day nor the hour. We don't know how much we may or may not have to suffer. We don't know. But you know what? It's foolish, isn't it, to sit and worry. What we should be doing is just faithfully sowing the seed. Faithfully sowing the seed. And that gives peace that our lives will be worth it all someday. And lastly, let's go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is light. Saturday was very unusual. Brother Jesse came and helped me get we got the roof up on the float, and then he needed to take off. And he was tied up, and everybody was busy Saturday. And so I was left there alone with the float, and I had a sweet time. I had to do things that some of you are the ones that do that. And you know what? I think that was the first time that I remember, at least in a long time, of wrapping the blue stuff around the pole. Some of you have always done that. And putting the white on the scallop part. I couldn't tell you the last time I've done that. So I learned to do what you all have done all these times. And so I was just working away, and I was just praising the Lord, and Brother Jesse called me, and he said, how's it going? And I think I said, it's all done, right? I was ready to go hand out tracts, and he asked me, did you have anybody to help you? And I said, yeah, there's three people came. He said, who came? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it was a sweet time, but, you know, It was a joy to me to just be able to do some of the tasks that you all have had to do so many times, and I did them. So it made me appreciate your labor all the more, and it was it was a, It was just such a sweet time. And it's just a joy to serve the Lord, isn't it? It's just a joy to serve the Lord and a thing with great peace. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us not to be troubled. Lord, we know that our peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, none of us know what we may or may not face on this earth before the Lord comes or before you take us home. But Lord, I just thank you for the peace that you give that passes all understanding. Father, I thank you for the privilege of just serving you. What an honor that is that I don't deserve. And Lord, I just thank you for these dear folks gathered here tonight that have labored so abundantly for you over the years. And I just learned Saturday just some of those things that others have just always done. And Lord, I thank you for their labors. And I pray you'd help them to know that their labors for you have not been in vain, that it's on their account in heaven. Right now, it's on their account, waiting for them, just like Brother Reese removing that panel. And what a surprise. What a wonderful surprise. Father, I pray that you would help us to serve you with all of our hearts, not with a complaining spirit, but with just a thankful spirit that we are even allowed to serve you, that there is even something for us to do. Lord, we praise you that you've allowed us to have just a tiny part in your great work. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless the heart of each one here tonight and would help them to know that their labor is not in vain. And Father, if there should be any here tonight who have not yet trusted Christ, I pray you'd help them to realize tonight that Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God, born of a miraculous virgin birth. He lived a perfect, sinless life and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. Was buried and rose again in victory, proving that his blood was sufficient to wash away our sin, because death, the wages of sin is death, and death could not hold him because he paid the price in full. Lord, we thank you for that. Help no one to leave here without Christ tonight. Encourage our hearts, Lord. Give us the peace that passes all understanding. We pray in Jesus' name.